You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 21.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Marin Aluria. Marilyn is an internationally known psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and healer. Her gifts were inherited from her grandmother and aunt, and she has been having psychic experiences since the age of 5. She engages all of her gifts, seeing, hearing, knowing, and feeling, to give you messages from your guides that are always with you and from your loved ones who have crossed over. She engages her clients in a warm feeling as she guides them to anchor into their soul's purpose. She does more than just provide a connection to the afterlife. She gives her clients an action plan. Marilyn teaches people around the world how to develop their own gifts, gaining access to the answers that sit in the seat of their soul.
Marilyn, thank you so much for joining me on Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for asking me to come. I'm so excited to talk about this topic with you.
And I'm super excited to hear your story. Please share with my listeners your story about how you, I don't want to say go down the path, because this is really a gift as a psychic medium. It's not something you chose and decided to do. It's something that came to you. So let's hear that story.
It's an interesting story, and I'm sure it's an interesting story to a lot of your listeners, too, because they have their own interesting story. And it's something that I feel that chooses you. It's not necessarily that you choose it. So it runs in my family, and my father and mother's side. But when I was little, I started having clairvoyance images and visions and things coming true, or precognitive dreams coming true. But I didn't recognize that it was a psychic ability. I just was kind of thought it was something interesting and really liked witchy things and would make like voodoo dolls out of Play-Doh and always wanted to see the witch movies. And it wasn't until I got older in my 20s and I was living in New York City that I was totally interested in psychic ability. It was in and out my whole life. And I started studying a little bit more and studying tarot, and then I started hearing spirit talk to me in my ear. I would hear my name called and turn around and nobody would be there. And I used to say they're angels talking to me outside my ear. But I still didn't know that I had these abilities full on. I didn't understand what was happening. I just kind of dabbled. And it got more intense as time went on, and I started seeing spirits, and I started getting, I tell this story on my website, I started getting locked in rooms and having to chip away at doors with scissors or with screwdrivers, like doorknobs would just fall off or doors would just lock. It just became this crazy thing that kept happening. And I moved out of New York and came to L.A., and it, like, followed me here. And then I walked into a door and got 7 stitches in my head. And I knew, because I was so into the whole psychic thing, I was like, something's going on. This is not a coincidence. So I went to see a psychic, and she told me the dead were trying to reach me, and I needed to see a medium. So I went to see a medium, and she knew nothing about me, and she walked through the door, and she said, "You're a medium." And that was it. The floodgates opened. The spirits were all over the place, in my car, in my house, outside my door, walking in the street, and I was freaked out and scared. And I went to see another medium. I started learning how to turn it off. I had to learn how to turn it off first before I could turn it on, because I had to feel safe with it. And I went to see another medium, and he said to me, learn how to use your gift, because it'll move your life along. And that's part of the reason why I teach, because I believe everybody's gifted. Everybody can grow their gift at any age, especially now with the dimensional shift. And I want everybody to learn how to lead themselves so they can move their life along. That's my story in a nutshell.
That's incredible. I couldn't even imagine seeing them, though. No, I personally can feel them to see them. That might freak me out just a little bit.
Yeah, it is freaky and scary.
Such a gift. So what was the turning point then of acknowledging the gift and using it and then turning that into a business?
What was the turning point for me was I started studying, and when you study, you have to give readings in order to practice. So it's part of learning through experience. And I'll never forget my first set of readings. I was petrified. It was the ending of our class, and they brought in people that we knew. You know, I didn't know who I was going to read. It was other people in the class's friends. And my readings were right on. And I wasn't doing anything but touching the person's knee. And all of a sudden, the grandmother would show up, and she would tell me her name was Rose and started giving messages. And the person's like, yeah, that's my grandmother. And it really kind of freaked me out in a fun, exciting way. And I was always fascinated and interested and wanted to study. But I wasn't interested in doing it as a career. I was acting at the time. So I just started constantly practicing and studying, and I created a group called the LA Psychic Group, and I created it from this class. And I would teach in this class, and we would all take turns teaching, and we would all practice with each other. And then I just started giving readings for free, and then people started paying me. And I was at a point in my life where I was really unhappy because my acting career wasn't going anywhere. I was bookkeeping. I hated it. And I'll never forget the moment in time that changed for me. I was cleaning my stove, and I felt spirit say, you don't have to do this any longer. You don't have to bookkeep any longer. You don't have to be in a miserable job any longer. You can be a full-time medium. And that was like maybe January 1st, and it was like 6 or 7 years ago, January 3rd. Like, it was early January, and I said, January 31st, my last day. And it was my last day of bookkeeping, and I never went back, and I'm a full-time medium now 7 years, and my business just continues to grow.
That's amazing.
And it's one of those things that I really want to share with everyone, that doors just opened up. It really kind of like my soul and my path, life journey, life purpose, all kind of merged and met, and it all of a sudden things just kept opening, and it just kept going. And the one thing I want to share with everybody is don't box up your gift. Because my gift as a writer, my gift as an actress, my gift as even a business person, a bookkeeper, I worked at MTV as a production manager, all of that has worked in my career today. And I can use all of it. So it made me whole, and it continues to grow in my expansion and wholeness.
That's such a great point. When we think, I want to go down this path, and we forget all those other little paths is what brings us all together and gives us that knowledge to move forward. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's totally true. And then you look back and you think, oh, that's why I did that. That's why I took that improv class and I was a lead in an improv play. Oh, it's allowed me to trust my imagination, to have confidence to say what spirit is saying to me, even though I think it's the craziest thing in the world. There was a confidence building tool there. Yeah, that's happened a lot.
So what are the specific challenges that you think you face being in mind, body, spirit, and making a business with your passion and what you do? What are the biggest challenges you think we face?
I feel like the biggest challenges are definitely around accepting money for what you do. There's a couple of big challenges. So we'll talk about money, and we'll talk about also the integrity behind the business. So I was kicking and screaming going into this business, and I had a really big conversation with God. I believe in God. Whatever people believe in, I support, you know, but that's my belief system right there. And I don't feel like any are right or wrong. I feel like it's whatever jives with your soul is what's important. So I said to God, if I'm going to do this for a living, you've got to make me really good at it and really good to the point where I don't want anybody handing me their life and I will never mess with their life. So we have to make a promise right now that you're going to really show, Spirit's going to constantly show up for me and help me to be the best medium I can be and to get myself out of the way and never to harm another person. And I felt that that was almost like a written agreement we had a soul agreement, and it allowed me to go further. And the other thing that I notice a lot of students have of mine, because I teach a lot and I mentor people, is accepting money for this gift. There's a belief system out there that you're not supposed to accept money for this. Well, the way I understand it from my guides and the universe and whoever I talk to, money is energy. God understands, the universe understands that we use money here to live, to feed ourselves, to clothe ourselves. So it's just energy. And the person who comes to you is valuing themselves by asking for a service and also valuing you. You're valuing yourself by asking for a price in return. So the exchange is just an energetic exchange. And I also feel that the more money you make, the more you give, the more you can give in other areas, the more you can give of yourself, your soul, your spirit. You're not tapped out. You're not worried about debt. You're not worried about how am I going to pay the phone bill? Oh, my goodness, it's going to get turned off. How am I going to feed myself? The more money you have, you're able to give more of your soul to serve others and enlighten others and help them open the door that they may feel is closed.
That's beautiful. And in my past interviews with people, I always love to point that out, the whole energy exchange, because it's such a fascinating thing. We think, I have this gift and I should just give it away, or money's bad. And it's just like, no, it's how we make everything better, right? Kind of an interesting way to look at.
It's totally. And the thing for me is, the more you make, the more I make, the more I can give. Yeah. There are certain things that I want, and I'm not going to fault myself for that. But, wow, I could start a charity with, you know, kids and dogs and all these things I want to do. I could give to my favorite charity. Wow, what a great thing.
Yeah, and that's an amazing feeling when you can do that. So what sort of strategy has worked best for you in terms of reaching your ideal client? And then let's talk a little bit about who that ideal client is.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me because I feel that marketing strategy, just like marketing, is very important. I feel that knowing the media and how it shifted and how it continues to shift is important for somebody's business, because it's a great way of engaging people and offering things up for free. So the marketing strategies for me that have been the best. Okay, I'm going to talk about the beginning of my business because things have kind of taken off for me in interesting ways. I feel like in the very beginning, I went out and started making myself available. So a friend of mine went to the Curve gym and spoke to the manager there about what I did. And she invited me in to do a group reading, a group teaching meditation, and then do some reading. And that was like in front of like 40, 50 people, which was such a great event for me because it led to other things, which leads to word of mouth, which leads to other opportunities. I went to two other Curves after that because of that opportunity. I also found that going to people that knew me, especially in the beginning because you're building a reputation, going to my hairdresser, going to life coaches I knew, going to healers I knew, and asking them if I could read them for free. And in turn, if they enjoyed what they got from me and felt it could help their clients, they would share me as a resource to them. And that really worked a lot for me. So I really worked my networking circle. And I would jump out. I'm definitely a type of person that's not afraid to ask somebody for something, even if I was feeling insecure about my abilities. I went to my acting coaches at the time and asked if they would write about me in their newsletter, and I would offer a coupon. I had Mom's List write an advertisement to me, and I offered a coupon for reading. So those are some marketing strategies I used in the beginning. Since then, I'm on the internet, and Telesummits found me through a good friend of mine. And that has made me, I was already international, that has made me hugely successful internationally and has continued to grow my arena, as well as being on the internet and being reviewed. But, you know, people find me through the internet. So definitely having a Google presence is a very smart thing. And we have Google Plus these days.
Right.
I think I gave you a lot of information there, but I hope that's okay. I want to just give as much as I can.
That's perfect. The more information, the better. So what else is working in social media for you? Is it just Google Plus, or are you expanding out?
I'm expanding out, and I want to talk about clients, but I think you're going to ask me that. I'm expanding out. I love Facebook. Absolutely love Facebook. I play, anybody, we didn't say my full name, it's Marilyn Aloria, it's probably on the podcast. I play a lot of games on my Facebook page to have people think for themselves. I've actually gotten people saying to me, thank you for not telling us how to think. Thank you for teaching us how to think ourselves or play games and learn about our intuition and our gifts. So I actually love Facebook. Twitter, I'm getting comfortable with. My assistant helps me with that, honestly, and I'm still doing that. Google Plus, I really like for the Google Hangouts to be able to do video lessons for free and let people get engaged in that way, and then it lives on YouTube, which is excellent because it gives you a YouTube presence. So I really like that. I started doing Instagram, but there's too many social medias, and I've been told that you should just pick three and stick with those three. I do love my newsletters, too, because it helps me to give to my audience constantly and give something that I feel is of value and teaching them. Now, unfortunately, when you're on telesummits, you have to send a certain amount of emails. It's part of the business. So now I'm really just trying to make sure that I give a quality of my, even though telesummits are wonderful, but also give something of myself. And I'm going to start a membership and stuff so that I can get more people involved, because that's another great way of getting people to learn at a lower price point.
I like the advice of keeping it to three social media outlets, because it can just be overwhelming. And I think sometimes people get so overwhelmed, they just stop.
Yes, and it is completely overwhelming, and you need to know your audience. Like, one of the presences I'd like to get on more of is LinkedIn, because of the type of clientele I usually attract. And I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't use LinkedIn because I don't have enough time. I'm running my own business with an assistant and a bookkeeper.
Right. And who is the ideal client that you're looking for?
My clients are normally people who are healers, life coaches, mediums, psychics, therapists, actors, people in the creative industry, people that are already on the spiritual path, have been on the spiritual path, not newly awakening to the spiritual path. If they're newly awakening to the spiritual path, they're very open if they come to me. So they're people that are really already engaged and maybe are out there working in this capacity, or they're ready to make that leap into this capacity. Those are my mentor students that have been studying spirituality and opening up spirituality, but now they're ready to take the leap into the business. What I tend to do is when a client comes through my door and I feel that somebody, they would be, I go through a reading and I feel like, I'm not sure if that was a fit for me. I think that they would be better serviced somewhere else, but usually I recommend people. I resource out a lot. Or I then turn around to spirit and my guides and I say, okay, why did you send me that person? What did I need to learn? And then do me a favor, don't send them again. And I'm being honest with you. I literally tell my guides what kind of person I want in front of me because I know what capacity I'm going to serve at. And the more that I work and the more experience I get, the more my clientele shifts and changes. And there is an audience for everyone. So when I hear from life coaches, you know, there's 1,000 life coaches out there. Yeah, but there's only one of you. And everybody has to think of themselves as a brand. Nobody comes to the table with your life experiences. Only you do. And that is one of the things that I want to teach. I want to teach everyone. Do not discredit yourself or compare yourself to other people. You're your own person.
And that's such a beautiful thing to remember. Because I think especially when you're starting out, you get that nervous. And I hear that a lot. People are like, well, why would they listen to me when there's all these other people saying the same thing? And I'm like, but it's your story and who you are that resonates with them.
Completely. And a lot of the people that come to me or study with me are people that are learning through experience. Recently, I asked my guides, especially not too recently, about 2 years ago, I said, can you please stop teaching me through experience? I said, I promise to learn through observation. And they said, well, you got to learn then through observation. You got to stay awake. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people listening to your podcast are learning through their own life experience. But I'm grateful for my life experience because I had a rough childhood, a rough upbringing in Brooklyn, and went to a private Catholic school, so I had a mixture there. And I'm able to relate to most anybody because of my street fighting and because I'm also worked in a corporate atmosphere. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So don't ever discredit yourself.
Bring it all with you and use it to the best of your ability. It's amazing. Is that how you distinguish yourself from others in your field? Or do you have a certain way that you brand yourself?
So I feel that for me, what distinguishes me, I feel that there's somebody for everybody, and there are amazing people out there, amazing gifted people, and I definitely recommend the people that I know. For me, what I feel makes me different and a big thing that I teach my students is to never project myself on a reading or in a teaching. And I learned from people that projected on me. So what I mean by that is if somebody comes to me with a money issue, say they're in heavy debt, and say I'm experiencing the same thing at that moment in time, I don't project my fears onto the reading. I make sure that I'm completely not in the room. so that spirit could talk through me. Now, it's not to say that my own life experiences may not come through. My life experiences come through in a reading, but I'll say I'm telling you this life experience because it's pertinent to the reading. When I'm teaching my students, especially when I'm teaching, I make sure to meet every student where they are on their path, because it is not my formula that's going to serve them. It's their formula. So what I do is teach, guide. I like them to learn through experience, because you learn mostly through experience. But I want them to challenge it, to meet it, to open themselves up to it. So I once was teaching a class, and I was teaching about guides, and my guides are pretty much outside of me. And this one student was like, every time you ask me to talk to my guide outside, it's inside of me. I said, great. That's where your guide is. I am not here to tell you that that's wrong if it feels right to you. And that's what I feel makes me my own brand.
And I love that, because no matter what we do, we try and sometimes I think we always project ourselves on, but that's such a good lesson to, like, just listen and try not to project, because otherwise we can mess things up for sure.
Yeah, and be very conscious of yourself so that you're aware if your issue comes up, oh, that's my issue, let me move it out of the way. Like, I was in a reading with a client the other day, and one of my issues did come through. And I recognized it, and I said it to her. I said, sorry, that was not spirit, that was me. So please remove that from the reading. You know, and it's just like with students, too. If a student, you know, you get attached to certain students at certain times, and if they're ready to fly the coop, which happened to me years ago, I had to stop myself and say, okay, they need to go out. I need to be okay with this. I cannot project anything onto them. And you've got to remove yourself so that you can be the best possible teacher. Facilitator. That's what I feel.
Resonates here completely. So you do a lot of live events. So how do you turn those clients or potential clients you meet at live events? What are you doing from a marketing standpoint to bring them as part of your people, part of your list?
So live events, I haven't done in-person live in a while. I'm getting ready to start doing them again. I do more telesummits or my own phone calls around. But the way that I would normally do that is have a product to talk about. So, you know, obviously give something, because not everybody can afford or is going to be interested in the product. So you give something of value, give something of yourself, maybe do a few readings so that people really get an idea of what you're like. And usually in a live event, there's full grouping happening anyway. So if 100 people are there and I read 5 people, it's going to relate to most of the people in the room. Maybe a few people will walk away saying, I didn't relate to anything there. But usually if Sally's getting a reading, Mike across the row may be like, oh, my goodness, that totally sounds like me. And what I normally do would offer up some kind of coupon for a certain amount of time or some type of product that I'm about to launch and give it as a discounted rate for the people that are there if they sign up for the first 24 hours or the first 48 hours. That's what I always feel is really good. Or just join your list. Explain, like, what you offer up in your list. And usually at live events, I don't take people's emails. I want them to sign it. So I will usually play a lot of fun games. And then at the end say, I did this at one just because I ran out of time. I said, if you want to know the answers, please give me your email address. But then let me know, also check it off if you want to be on my email list. I feel voluntary is so much better in that way.
Right. And then they're not getting all this email and they're like, what happened? And then they get the real value, which is what we're all here to do.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's funny now because I don't put anybody on my list unless they opt in. And then sometimes, like, you'll see certain people will opt out of your list, and that's okay. They need to go. But some people I see spam report me. I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't put you on my list. You did. You opted in for the free gift. That's another thing. When you're getting started in your business, really get in with a good email system, and you need an opt-in. And an opt-in is something where they sign up and they get something free in return. So it's really important to offer up of something value for free. And some people may just want the free gift and they'll opt out. That's okay. The people that really resonate with you will stay. You really have to give a lot of this up to spirit. For me, it's always like, God, you take care of this. If you want me to, like, I have a student right now in my mentorship program who's a little bit on the fence about leaving. And I said to her, it's completely fine. You have to do what's best for you. And I'm only here as a pawn, you know, for universe, to spirit, as a channel. And if that person needs to go, then I've got to completely trust that God's taking care of them and taking care of me. It's a lot of trust with your own business.
Trust in ourselves, too. So important.
Yes, follow those. You're visionary. You're a visionary. So you're going to bring things out into the world that have not yet been brought out into the world, possibly a good amount of the time. So it's like, whoa, how's this going to get received? But you're a visionary, so you go out and you do it. And if it doesn't get received well, the thing that I've learned, because believe me, my heart would be like, oh, that class didn't sell out. That was horrible. The thing I've learned now is next, just next, move on to the next thing. That's all.
No, I love that too. Do you find that your customers engage with you through one medium versus another? Is it social media? Is it your blog? What are they engaging with you the most?
Definitely great Facebook, social media, newsletter. We definitely get feedback. We're getting to the point where I, unfortunately, this is another tip for everybody. I did my website way before I knew my business. Make sure that you do your website in a way that can grow with you because it's an expensive venture. My first website, Friends, just did for me for free, which I was very grateful for. And I don't have the capacity on my website just yet. We're working this out now where you can comment after a blog, which I think is very important. But you can comment on YouTube and Google. But people seem to give a lot of feedback through the newsletters. They'll email me and also through Facebook. And Twitter, not that much reactivity yet on Twitter. So we have more people on Twitter than Facebook.
So what has been your biggest marketing challenge to deal with?
I feel like filling classes lately. I feel like that's shifting and changing. I feel like what happened for me was I saturated myself because I was on too many telesummits. And telesummits are great, but there's a lot of free stuff on telesummits, which I'm not going to say is bad. But if I'm going to put out a class of a lot of value where you're getting a lot of interaction with me, and if I'm on a lot of telesummits, it changes the price point. And it changes how I'm available. And I'm being honest in this call, you know, and that's something I'm learning from marketing gurus. How do you want to be available? Because a lot of people that move from what I'm getting ready to start moving from one-on-one into group, a lot more group work, which is what I'm doing. When people move in from one-on-one businesses to group-based businesses, they make themselves no longer available for one-on-one. And the way that you get to work with them, oh, now join my group to my membership. But in a way, it's much better because my one-on-one rate, my mentorship one-on-one, they're high price points. And I know it because I know what I give, so I have to raise it to that level. Whereas I've been doing membership, which I'm going to do, it's a much lower price point, and I'm going to be able to give so much more to so many more people. So it's such a win-win on both sides, and I get really energized by group work. I love it. So the biggest marketing challenge I found is really finding what my audience wants to learn because my audience is continuing expanding at such a speed that the stuff that I may have taught 3 years ago no longer resonates because they've already grown past it and graduated it. And then knowing where to make myself of value and not to saturate myself too much in certain arenas. So I'm very picky about which telesummits I do now. I don't know if it's coming off as snobbery, but I don't mean it to, but you really have to think of your business as the best possible vehicle for yourself. And also, you can't get tapped out because then you can't give.
Yep. And find balance. The balance of the giving and your time, because we're all doing this to give. We're also all doing this to have the life that we love, right? So we have to find that balance of our time and the exchange of the energy. So we definitely need to remember that. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently?
You know what I would do differently? Because I think back, I'm very happy with my journey. I'm really, like, excited. And it's not, believe me, I have my moments. We all do. I've been tapped out and tired and like, oh, what am I doing? And then I know the business has to shift. I feel like I wish I got on board with marketing gurus a little bit sooner. I had somebody kind of guiding me, but I couldn't take the information in. It was very difficult to be growing a business, and my business took off pretty quickly. And to be able to understand what email systems you should use or what an opt-in is or what the proper website is or what WordPress is, I couldn't take that in. And really, hiring somebody is the best thing you can do for yourself because the amount of money you're going to pay someone else, you're like, oh, my goodness, I can't part with this. I'm not making enough. No, hire someone who can help you because it frees you up to do other things that will make you more valuable. So I feel like for me, I wish that I started out with understanding, building a list from early on, how important it is to build a list, get your list to trust you, really cultivate an amazing relationship with your list so that you offer things up to them. You know, when people take my classes, now I really recognize the importance of sending them thank yous and letting them know how much I appreciate it, because I really do, but I can't get too busy, and like I got too busy to let them know. So you want to continue that relationship building. It's very important, and that I feel like I would change.
That's great advice. Now, there's something to be said for those thank yous that we sometimes take for granted. I like to drop them in the mail so you actually get something in your hand for the right clients.
Totally. And it's easy to get into that, well, I've got this next thing. I've got this next thing. Oh, this is wonderful. It's all just happening. And then, you know, it's really important to let the people know that have been following you that, wow, I'm so appreciative. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So any last bit of advice to my listeners about starting their own business and what they should do and how to overcome their fears?
I'm going to say a couple of things. Starting your own business, I would definitely suggest to get on. Definitely listen to Kimberly's podcast, because I just love her energy. I just met Kimberly today via phone, and I think we both right away had this connection of liking each other, I hope. I know I felt that.
Yes. It was mutual, for sure.
Thank you. So I would definitely, what she's doing, I was so excited when she invited me on, because this is a topic that I feel is extremely important. Definitely get on to people like this who want to help and give you suggestions for free. Because in the beginning, you know, you're overhead, you want to kind of keep it low. The other thing I would suggest people do is just pick three things to target. Maybe one of them's Facebook, one of them's a newsletter every week, and one of them maybe just footwork around who they know, who could be word of mouth, you know, offering up. I think group work is really great. In your sphere, one of the things my guides told me, I was presented with an opportunity and I was really scared. And they said two things to me. One, they said, I said, am I ready for this? They said, we would have not given you this opportunity if we didn't think you were ready for it. And then the second thing they said is, you're going to be afraid anyway, so just walk through it and do it. So what I told my students recently is, you're going to be afraid anyway, but just do it. Because before you know it, experience grows you. You know, the more you... The way I've learned what clientele works for me is through experience. The way I've learned what works in marketing is through experience. And if something falls flat on its face, just let it go. Don't worry about it and move on. And don't take the past experience with you. I've heard people say, well, it didn't sell 2 years ago. Well, who cares? You're a different person now. Don't bring that past story into the present.
Yeah, everything's different. You're different. People around you are different. You just never know.
Right, and timing, there's a timing factor in, and you had to learn something. So definitely do it. And if you have a dream in your heart, you know, go for it. I know we hit walls at times and stuff, and you don't understand why you're hitting the wall. Maybe take a different turn. Try something new. Maybe step back and close the door. One of my best products, which is the 28-day challenge, I'm getting ready to teach the advanced part of that. It dropped in, quick story, I bought a house, renovated it, didn't realize I bought a house that needed so much renovation, so it's like $150,000 in debt. That's for five, and my guide said, give us this problem for 3 weeks. You're not allowed to think about it. Anytime you have this problem, take it in a ball, literally, you know, see it in a ball, visualize it, and hand it to us. Within 3 days of doing that, this whole idea of a class dropped in, and it's been one of my most successful classes. So you have to step out of the fear in order to get me inspired.
I love being able to hand it off. That's beautiful. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
So if my listeners want to find out more about you, which I'm sure they will, because I know I can already think of people I'm going to send you, where would they find you?
So my website is marilynaloria.com. It's Marilyn, M-A-R-I-L-Y-N, like Marilyn Monroe, but that's not who I'm named after, Marilyn. And Aloria is A-L-A-U-R-I-A, marilynaloria.com. My Facebook page is Marilyn Aloria. It's a fan page, because it's one thing you don't know about Facebook pages is after 5,000 friends, they tap you out. So I did it as a fan page so it could continue to grow. And that's the best places right now. Definitely opt in. I offer two free gifts. One is an empathic class, because I'm sure almost everyone on this call is empathic, picks up people's energies and emotions. So you get a free 90-minute or 120-minute empathic class, and also a guided meditation to meet your higher self if you join my list. And you can opt out if you get the gift. That's okay. I don't mind. Just don't spam me, okay? Just don't say it's spam.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. You've given so much incredible information. I'm sure everyone's going to have to take down the notes and re-listen, but thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kimberly. This was great fun. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.